Today we're building a retro rave edit from scratch in Ableton Live 12. More specifically, we're making a jungle fill that flips into a new bass movement, and placing it where it actually earns its keep in a drum and bass arrangement. This is not just about making a cool fill. It's about creating a DJ-friendly, bar-aware, tension-building transition that feels like a real record moment. The kind of moment that can live at the end of an 8-bar phrase, the last two bars before a drop, or the turnaround before a second drop switch-up. If you get this right, the listener should feel the track stop being a loop and start becoming a song. What we're aiming for is a 4-bar jungle fill flip built from a chopped break, a short bass response phrase, a filtered or distorted rave accent, and a final bar that opens into the next section. It should feel old school in character, but modern in weight, dirty, but legible, exciting, but disciplined. The first thing to understand is that phrase comes before sound. Always. So before you start hunting for the perfect break or synth patch, set up the arrangement around the exact moment where the fill will live. Load in your drums, your main bass, and any atmosphere first. Then loop the section you're working on so you can judge the fill in context right away. For this kind of edit, I like starting with an 8-bar loop and placing the fill in the last two bars of a 16-bar phrase, or right before a drop change. That gives the edit a job. It's not a random embellishment. It's a transition device. What to listen for here is simple. When the fill begins, the energy should rise, but the kick and bass relationship should not collapse. If it suddenly feels like everything is happening at once, the phrase is overloaded. If it barely registers, you haven't given it enough identity. Now comes the first real choice. Do you go break first or bass first? If you want the more authentic jungle feel, go break first. Start with a chopped amen-style break, an old-school drum fill, or a tight break loop, then slice it up in Ableton. You can use sliced a new MIDI track if that speeds things up, or keep it in audio if you want to work more surgically. Keep the ghost notes, little kick pickups, and snare details that give the break personality. Don't polish the life out of it. If your track is already more bass-led, then go bass first. Write the fill as a short bass mutation, then carve the drums around it. That approach is great when you want the jungle reference to feel like flavor rather than the entire identity of the track. Why this works in D&B is because the fill is not just there to sound cool. It has to answer the groove. In drum and bass, the transition has to carry momentum, reset the ear, and reveal a new bass identity without wrecking the low end. That's the job. Once you've chosen your source, build the rhythmic skeleton first. Don't rush into detail. Think in bars. A strong retro rave edit usually follows a clear arc. The first bar keeps the original groove present. The second bar introduces chopped break tension, the third bar brings in the bass flip or stab response, and the fourth bar releases into the next section. Keep that first pass simple. A few accented hits, some empty space, maybe one clear snare anchor and a couple of ghost notes. Resist the temptation to fill every subdivision. The best jungle edits breathe. What to listen for is the relationship between the fill and the kick. If the kick disappears emotionally, the fill is too dense. If the fill doesn't pull the ear forward, it's too empty. You're looking for that sweet spot where the groove still rolls, but the listener can feel the turn coming. If you're editing a break, load it into simpler in slice mode or map it into a drum rack. Tighten slice starts, shorten tails that blur the groove, and let one or two ghost notes ring a little longer for character. Use velocity to make it feel played rather than programmed. That's a huge part of the old school feel. Don't quantize everything to death. Keep the main snare hit strong and dependable, but allow a few ghost notes to sit a touch early or late. That slight human drift is part of what makes jungle feel alive. If you make the break too perfect, it loses the rave edge. If it gets too messy, it smears over the bass. You want dirty but readable. Now we bring in the bass response phrase. This is where the lesson becomes about bass lines, not just drum edits. Keep it short. 2 to 4 notes maximum is usually enough. Often the strongest version is the one that knows when to get out of the way. A good approach is to let the first couple of beats stay minimal or even drop the bass out, then introduce a punchy accent in the third beat, and a pickup, note or answer in the fourth. If you're using a re-arrived patch, keep the note lengths short enough that the low end stays controlled. Think 1/8 to 1/4 note lengths, with little spaces between hits. And this matters a lot. Keep the sub disciplined while the mid bass does the personality work. If the sub lives in every hit, the fill may feel heavy, but it will also feel flat and muddy. If everything is happening in the top end, it loses authority. The trick is clean low end, character in the mids. For the sound design, you can stay completely inside stock Ableton devices and still get a strong result. A simple chain-like operator into saturator into EQ8 into auto filter is enough to get you very far. Or if you want something more aggressive and printed, wave eatable into overdrive into EQ8 into compressor will get you there. With operator, keep the core simple. Sine or triangle energy is often enough. Maybe with a touch of harmonic movement if you need more bite. Use saturator modestly. You want thickness, not destruction. EQ8 can clean up low-mid cloud around the 200 to 400 Hz area and tame harshness higher up if needed. Then auto-filter gives you the movement, which is really the whole point of the flip. You can automate a low-pass opening, maybe somewhere between a darker start and a more open final hit. The exact range depends on how exposed you want the bass to feel, but the key is movement, not drama for its own sake. Think of the filter as phrasing, not decoration. What to listen for now is whether the bass actually answers the break. A lot of edits sound technically correct, but they don't feel like a conversation. The break should ask a question. The bass should reply. That call and response is what makes the edit feel intentional and underground. If the whole thing starts sounding a little too polite, commit to resampling. This is one of the most useful advanced moves in Ableton. Record the break and bass interaction to audio, then treat it like raw material. That printed version often has more attitude than the MIDI ever will, because you're capturing the exact interaction of timing, saturation, transient shape, and envelope decisions. Once it's bounced, you can do things like reverse a tiny tail into the next bar, cut a transient earlier for a sharper pickup, duplicate a stab and offset it slightly, or leave a little breath before the next section lands. This is where the edit starts to feel like a real record moment instead of a loop, with effects. And here's a good rule, stop if the resampled version already grooves and the low end is stable. Don't keep processing just because you can. One of the most common advanced mistakes is overdeveloping an idea after it already has a job. Now we shape the transition, not just the sound. Automation should feel like arrangement. Plus the bass filter a touch at the start of the fill. Then open it on the last hit. Pull back reverb or delay early, then let a brief tail happen at the end if it helps the landing. Maybe add a small resonance bump right before the final stab. Tiny moves, big payoff. The important thing is timing. The fill should feel like it arrives on the last hit. If the climax happens too early, the final bar loses its purpose. The landing is the point. At this stage, put the fill back into the full track context. Kick, snare, hats, bass, and the first bar of the next section. This is where you find out if the edit actually works as a transition. Does it hand off cleanly? Does the kick still punch? Or has the fill stepped on the next downbeat? If you're heading into a heavier drop, you may want the fill to end with a short gap or a stripped pickup so the next section can hit harder. If you're going into a breakdown or an atmospheric reset, you can let it trail a little more and keep the energy hanging in the air. The transition has to match the destination. A really strong arrangement move is to use the last two bars of a phrase to intensify, then let the next section land on the new phrase boundary, like bars 15 and 16 resolving into bar 17. That gives the listener a clear sense that something changed, without it feeling forced. Now for the mix discipline, because this is where a lot of otherwise great edits fall apart. Keep the sub mono. Don't spread anything below about 120 Hz with stereo effects. If you've added a rave stab or a widened texture, keep that in the mid and high layers only. Use utility to check mono compatibility. If the fill loses too much impact when summed to mono, the width is living in the wrong place. A jungle fill can sound huge in headphones and then collapse on a club system if you've widened the wrong part of the spectrum. So carve space instead of just boosting level. If needed, trim the bass clip gain a little and let the drums breathe. In drum and bass, excitement should come from density, harmony, and movement, not just volume. A few common mistakes are worth calling out. First, making the fill too busy. If every slice is important, nothing is important. Second, letting the sub ring through every edit. That smears the low end and steals the kick's authority. Third, over-widening the rave layer so it sounds good in stereo but weak in mono. Fourth, quantizing the break so tightly that it loses all jungle feel. Fifth, distorting the entire bass instead of splitting the sub and character layers. And finally, forgetting the landing. If the next section doesn't feel stronger, the fill hasn't done its job. Here's a really useful advanced habit, make versioned bounces. Keep a raw MIDI or chop version, then a printed or resampled edit, then a mono-checked mix version. That way, if the processing starts making the edit smaller, you can step back without losing the good idea. This is a simple workflow habit that saves a lot of frustration. A few extra pro moves can make a huge difference. If you're working on darker or heavier DNB, split the bass into two jobs, a clean sub that stays simple and stable, and a character layer that can get saturated and animated, that lets you keep the fill aggressive without destabilizing the low end. You can also let one snare hit stay a little too loud on purpose. That tiny bit of attitude often makes the whole fill feel more like a real jungle edit, and less like a polished loop.